You may be seated. As you are seated, turn with me in the Word of God to the book of 1 Peter. First Peter chapter 1. Actually, it's printed in the bulletin 4 through 9. I had preached through verses 1 through 3 last week, but I'll just read starting at verse 1 and read through verse 9, but we'll focus on 4 through 9 for the sermon. Let us hear the inerrant, the holy, infallible, inspired word of Almighty God. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who reside as aliens scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, who are chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father by the sanctifying work of the Spirit, that you may obey Jesus Christ and be sprinkled with his blood. May grace and peace be yours in fullest measure. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled, will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you who are protected by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, even though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been distressed by various trials, that the proof of your faith, being more precious than gold, which is perishable, even though tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. And though you have not seen him, you love him. And though you do not see him now, but believe in him, you greatly rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, obtaining as the outcome of your faith the salvation of your souls. So again, this book of 1 Peter is written to a people who in the latter part of verse 6 says, if necessary, you have been distressed by various trials. Well, they have been distressed by various trials, and I think that anyone who lives on the face of the earth will know what trials and troubles and tribulations are all about. We do not live in a perfect world by any means. We are sinful people, and our world is sinful, and we reap the bad repercussions of that. But last week I had reminded us that Peter was inspired of God in writing to a people who he labeled or described by using four different words. First of all, we're aliens. We're not going to live forever on this earth. There's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. We're told that in 2 Peter chapter 3. And Lord willing, one of these days, hopefully we'll get there. And we'll hear a sermon on that. But today, we're still in chapter 1 of 1 Peter. But we're aliens. We're just passing through. We're chosen. We're the chosen people of God. We are chosen to obey the Lord Jesus Christ, because he has caused us to be born again. And he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and to obtain an inheritance. And so I want to preach this morning for a little while on this subject of our inheritance. But again, reminding us that the reason Peter is inspired of God to point this out to these people is that he wants them to remember, no matter what is happening in their lives, no matter what the situation and circumstances are in their life that could very well be extremely problematic, extremely troubling, could be very depressing, could be very painful and uncomfortable and unpleasant. And we know that all kinds of things like that can happen to us in this life. Turn with me for just a moment back to the Gospel of John. Even our Lord Jesus taught these things to his disciples when he was here on earth, and we'll hear more about this thing of suffering as Christians as we go on through, work our way through the book of 1 Peter, because this concept of various trials and sufferings come up time and time and time again in this little five-chapter book of 1 Peter. But in John chapter 15, even our Lord, as Peter has been inspired of God to remind us that we are chosen, even our Lord Jesus Christ said that to his disciples. Pick it up in verse 16, John 15, verse 16. Jesus says, "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, and that whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he may give to you. This I command you, that you love one another. If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. But because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you, a slave is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will keep yours also. But all these things they will do to you for my name's sake, because they do not know the one who sent me." And so, time and time again, we read in the Bible that darkness and light have nothing in common. We heard and were reminded of the other week, there are two kingdoms, the kingdom of God and the kingdom of the world. There are two kinds of people, those of us who are saved and those who are not. And so that's just the way it is in this world. Look over to John 16, and Jesus continued speaking, and here's what he said in verse 33. "These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you have tribulation, but take courage. I have overcome the world." So let's go back now to 1 Peter chapter 1. But again, just a reminder that in this world we will have troubles and trials, tribulations. They may evidence themselves in the marriage relationship, and have for many, and that's another reason why there are so many divorces in our country and around the world. People just, two people, a man and a woman, both have sinful natures. And sometimes it's extremely difficult to live together with those differences. Some will like one color, the other spouse will like another. One spouse will want this kind of vehicle, and the other spouse will want something else. Some will want this kind of house and this home and this place, and another will want something else. And so that's why, that's one of the reasons why, and I disagree with people giving this reason to the court in order to get a divorce, but their rationale is simply this. We have unreconcilable differences. Well, I can understand why those who are lost and dead in their trespasses and sins have unreconcilable differences. I cannot understand why two professing Christians cannot reconcile their differences because of what the Bible teaches us. But even some Christians claim, well, we're getting a divorce because we have unreconcilable differences. Well, we obviously going to have differences, but as Christians, we're to love each other as the Lord has loved us. We're to forgive each other as the Lord has forgiven us. There's no room in a Christian marriage for a husband or wife to hold a grudge and not be forgiving and not loving, etc., etc. Well, tribulations. Sometimes it's children who bring a lot of grief to the lives of their parents and family. And I'm sure you've heard of children, and I have, and have known families where the children would, what some would say, went off the deep end or would get addicted to illegal drugs or alcohol or other things and bring shame upon themselves and shame upon their family. Trials, troubles, tribulations, hard things, unpleasant things, uncomfortable things that bother us. Well, it could be the grandchildren. Could be money. We have one lawyer in Winston-Salem. Our son is a lawyer, by the way, Christian lawyer. And when they visit us and we have the TV on and he sees these commercials, he just cringes and shakes his head. But we've got this one guy in Winston-Salem who is just pleading with people to declare bankruptcy. And he just goes through this spiel about you don't need more money, you need less bills. Do you want to get rid of bills? If you just want to get rid of your bills, call me. Because if you have less bills, you won't need more money. And so he's pleading with people, and in essence, that, in my opinion, is a form of stealing. We should pay our bills. We should pay those back who we borrow from. We should not try to beat them out of it. And yet, a lot of people are doing that. But money problems, health problems, relational problems, that seems to be the biggest one. Again, because we all have a sinful nature and we don't always do what others would like for us to do, etc., etc. Well, in this world you'll have tribulation, but the Lord said, I have overcome the world. And so he goes on, 1 Peter goes on to tell us that we have an inheritance and that we should not only rejoice, but the word in verse 6 and the word in verse 8 is we should greatly rejoice in our inheritance, no matter what the situation and circumstances that we're living in and that surround us. Our situation and circumstances may be horrible, but we've got something that's not horrible, that we can never lose, that will never be taken away from us, that will never change. We live in a world where there's a lot of change going on all the time, but there's some things that never change. And the gift of eternal life in Christ is absolute and sure forever. It will never change. We can never lose it. And so he reminds us in verse 4 and following. We are born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead to obtain an inheritance. Now look at the words that he uses to describe our inheritance. It is imperishable, undefiled, will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you who are protected by the power of God through faith for salvation. Well, let me just pick up on these words for just a moment. Everything that we see and touch in this life is perishable. I was reminded of that. We're having a provisional session meeting, and we agreed that we would bring our own lunch so we could eat a quick lunch, get right on with our business, get through, and get back home. Well, I said to Joyce this morning, I need to take my lunch, but do you think if I just put it in a bag, it'll be good until 12 or 12:30, whenever I get to it? She said, well, you need to get this, what is that thing called? It's in plastic. You keep it in the freezer, and then it's not ice, but it's a ice pack or something. But you pull it out and put it in your waterproof bag, and you put your food in there, and it lasts a good while until it needs to be put back in the freezer. Well, whatever you call that thing, she said, you need to put one of those in this bag, put your food in that, and it'll be good. But again, that was a reminder. Things are perishable. And if you aren't careful with that food, and even if you leave it refrigerated too long, you know what happens to it, don't you? It gets green stuff growing all over it. And you have to throw it out. Even our clothes are perishable things. They don't last forever. They wear out. The cars that we drive are perishable things, and we have to periodically replace them because they get old and wear out. Even we ourselves are perishable. We can't live forever on earth in these bodies. The day will come when we will die, unless Jesus comes again first. But our inheritance, on the other hand, is imperishable. Imperishable, undefiled, will not fade away. Now that says to me that it's going to be new and exciting forever. We will never get tired of it. It will never grow old to us. We will never want something more exciting or newer. We all like new things. I'm sure we do. I like new things. Especially if I'm replacing an old thing that's run its course and needs to be replaced. But just remember, and I'm sure most of us have probably had at least one, if not more, new automobiles. And some people, I've even had friends to say, well, I can't afford a new one, but I like to go down to the car dealership and go in the showroom and just get in one and sit down in it just to smell that new car smell. That's so wonderful. And it is wonderful. That's a good thing. Exciting thing. But you and I both know it doesn't take long for that to wear off. 3 months down the road, it gets dented or scratched in the parking lot. 6 months down the road, you get in it and wonder, where'd that new car smell go? And now there's some car wash places that have these spray things, what they call them, deodorizers or smell good things or whatever, you put them in your car. And they even have one, and the name of it is New Car. It's fake and it's phony. It doesn't smell like the new car, but it's better than old car smell, if you get what I'm saying. But this inheritance that we have, it's imperishable, it's undefiled, it will not fade away. It's reserved in heaven for us. And it's going to be new forever. I think the hymn writer of Amazing Grace comes as close as anything to reminding us of this. When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing his praise than when we'd first begun. Going to be like brand new all the time. Imperishable, undefiled, will not fade away. And it's reserved in heaven, it says in the word here, reserved in heaven, protected. Reserved in heaven for you who are protected by the power of God through faith. Well, we all know how powerful God is. I mean, he can just speak an entire universe in the creation. It's amazing. Look at all that he's created just by saying, let there be. And it was. He is all powerful. Well, what we have, our inheritance, is protected by his power. Nothing can ever change it or get to it or make it less than what it is. And we're protected through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed at the last time. Now, that last time is a reference to Christ coming again. When he comes again and brings this world and its history to its conclusion. And then it goes on to say, in this you greatly rejoice. You see, there are a lot of things in this life and in this world that cause us to be sad, cause us to be depressed. It's amazing the number of people that go to doctors trying to get some medicine to pump them up a bit, get them out of their depression and their sadness. Well, and I've been through times when I've been sad and I've been depressed and I've been uncomfortable with situations and circumstances and unpleasant things, the trials, troubles, tribulations. But this is telling us we have something to greatly rejoice in no matter what. No matter how bad it gets, no matter how bad our health gets. Bobby made a comment to me after Sunday school. He saw me getting up out of the pew, and I had to kind of pull myself up to get out of there. And he asked me, well, been overworking? Are you sore? I said, no, I'm just old and decrepit. Not as easy to get up out of that pew as it was 30 years ago. But no matter what our situation and circumstances, we have something to greatly rejoice in. And it's our inheritance. That's imperishable, undefiled, will not fade away. It's reserved for us. It's protected by the power of God through faith for salvation. And that full salvation will be revealed when the Lord comes again. And we know that's going to set off a series of things that happens. The world will be consumed by fire. When he comes again, the souls who have departed and absent from the body, present with him, in heaven, they will come back with him. There'll be a resurrection of the dead, and the souls and bodies will be reunited in a resurrected, glorified, sinless body like that of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we will be caught up in the clouds and in the heavens to be with the Lord, and we will forevermore be with him. And he will establish, after this world is consumed by fire, he will establish the new heavens and the new earth. And in Revelation 21, he is on record as saying, I will make all things new. It's an amazing thing what our inheritance consists of. Now, it raises more questions in my mind than it answers. I'd like to know what this new earth and new heavens are going to look like. And will we be like they were in, what was that TV series where they beam me up, Scotty? You know, that thing? Will we be able just to go from here to there just like that? You know, I don't know. But I'm curious about it. And I'm excited that one day I'll know because I'll be there. But I'll be as excited about it after I've been there trillion years as I'm excited about it the first day I arrive on the scene. Amazing, amazing thing. Now, look with me for just a moment over here to verse 10, 11, and 12. As to this salvation, now it continues with this concept of our salvation. As to this salvation, the prophets who prophesied of the grace that would come to you made careful search and inquiry, seeking to know what person or time the Spirit of Christ within them was indicating as he predicted the sufferings of Christ and the glories to follow. It was revealed to them that they were not serving themselves, but you in these things, which now have been announced to you through those who preach the gospel to you and by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things, now listen to this, things into which angels long to look. There's something about our salvation, something about our inheritance that the angels are curious about. They don't know everything that there is to know about it, but they long to look into these things. Now, it's not fully revealed to us, and I'm convinced that the reason that our eternity in the new heavens and the new earth are not laid out and spelled out for us from A to Z is because our little finite minds and our limited vocabulary don't have the words to describe or communicate how wonderful that's going to be. We know it's imperishable. We know it's undefiled. We know that it won't fade away. We know it's reserved for us. And all those things are wonderful. But I don't think we can comprehend in this life, in this world, how wonderful it really will be. Even we will stand in awe of Almighty God and this great salvation that he has given to us. Now in that we greatly rejoice, no matter what. Let's bow our heads for a moment of prayer. God, our Heavenly Father, how thankful we are for this wonderful salvation and our inheritance, and what you've said to us this morning about it. And Lord, we know that one day we'll enter into it because you have loved us enough to die in our place and to suffer the consequences and penalty of our sin. We deserve to suffer that ourselves, but you said, no, I'm going to suffer that for you because I love you. And so, Lord, help us now to remember these things and to rejoice and be glad that our sins are forgiven and to continue to trust you and by your grace and Spirit live our lives in light of your great love and grace and mercy to us. And this I ask and pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Turn with me quickly to the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter number 11. These are the words of the Apostle Paul as God inspired him to write it to the church at Corinth. They had a lot of things out of place. They were called and labeled a church. There were those among them who were called out by the Lord to be his own. There were some that none of us can look into the hearts of another person. We look at the outward. God looks at the heart. But there were some, based on their behavior, that even the Apostle Paul was concerned about whether or not they were even saved, because they weren't acting like it, weren't living like it. And so they didn't have it right when they went to celebrate the Lord's Supper either, and so the Lord inspired him to write these words to get them on the straight and narrow. Here's what he says, verse 23 and following. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, in the night in which he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and said, This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, the cup also after supper, saying, This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks judgment to himself, if he does not judge the body rightly. For this reason, many among you are weak and sick, and a number of you sleep. But if we judged ourselves rightly, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are disciplined by the Lord in order that we may not be condemned along with the world. And so we should examine ourselves, and we should judge ourselves. Judge ourselves to be sinful, but at the same time judge ourselves, if it be true of us, that we are indeed born again of his Spirit. We do believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, that we're trusting in his life, his death, his shed blood, his burial and resurrection, plus nothing else, for the forgiveness of our sins and life everlasting. If that's us this morning, then our Lord Jesus Christ would say to us, take this bread, take this cup, eat and drink, remember my love for you and death for you until I come again. But if a person would say, well, I don't think I'm really all that bad, and I don't know about this thing of believing in Christ and trusting in him for forgiveness, I don't know what that's about. Well, if that be the case, then the Lord in his word says, do not eat or drink, lest you eat or drink judgment unto yourself. This is for the people of God, born again of the Spirit of God. And so may it be with us that we rightly partake, not wrongly partake. Let's bow our heads for a moment of prayer. God, our Heavenly Father, again we bow before you and we ask you to set these elements apart from their normal use to this particular and holy use, and that you would enable us, Lord Jesus, to feed upon you by faith, to be nourished and strengthened spiritually, to rejoice and be glad that our sins are forgiven, to greatly rejoice in our inheritance and all that that will have in it, and that one day we will know the ins and outs of it, because we will be with you in eternity with a glorified, resurrected, sinless body, as you said you will bring to pass. And Lord, cause us to look forward to that day and to greatly rejoice in that, no matter what. And these things we ask and pray in Jesus' name, amen.